With its stunning scenery, hill and harbor-hugging towns, and historic ruins, Italy's Amalfi Coast deserves its must-see reputation. Anne Long grew up in small-town Illinois. Then she fell in love with an Italian from Sorrento, and she's been at home on the Amalfi Coast ever since. She's been leading tours now all over Italy for almost 40 years, and she joins us for an insider's view for exploring the Amalfi Coast without being at the mercy of the crowds. Anne, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rick. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so without being at the mercy of the crowds, that's a big issue. You know, when we go to southern Italy and we go where all the famous places are, we're going to see a lot of crowds. You're right there in the middle of it all. What's the crowd situation for tourism in Sorrento and the Amalfi Coast?
After the pandemic, we've just been going up and up and up. 2022 was busy, and 2023 even more. And they're predicting the same or more in 2024. So all we can do is hold on for the ride.
Let's talk about the region in general, because you got Rome. Everybody's going to go to Rome. And then a couple hours south is Naples, which is a wonderful city, but very, very intense and almost too much for a lot of people. But then as sort of the other side of the southern Italian coin, you get on that train and you go down to Sorrento, and it's the most peaceful limoncello resort, romantic town, sort of the opposite of Naples, isn't it?
It is. We're in a little bubble here that's 20 miles from here. We've got crowds, we've got poverty, we've got homelessness and unemployment, but Sorrento is very, very lively. It's very safe and a wonderful place to base yourself.
And lots of good hotels, lots of restaurants, and the springboard for lots of sightseeing. I remember a long time ago in my tour work, we've got, you know, tours all over Europe, and it occurred to me the one city where we stay longer from an overnight point of view than anywhere else was Sorrento, because Sorrento is such a great home base for visiting. You can visit Naples, you can visit Pompeii, you can visit Vesuvius, you can visit Herculaneum, you can visit the Amalfi Coast, and of course you can go out to Capri, the romantic island. So it's a wonderful home base, and you ended up not there, but just in a village up the hill from there. How did that happen?
Yeah, I'm about 5 miles above Sorrento, and I'm in the house that my husband was born in, his father was born in, and his grandfather was born in. So I knew I wasn't going to go too far away from here if I decided to stay and get married. I'm a widow now, and I have a 33-year-old son, so home is home. I like living up in the mountains, going down into Sorrento, having my friends there, going to do shopping. It's fine until the high peak season, and then it definitely gets crowded.
And what would the peak season be in the Amalfi Coast?
Well, we usually start at Easter. Whenever Easter is, that's the kickoff. It can be early, it can be late, but say by the middle of April until the end of October, that's our high season.
Yeah, everybody's dreaming of the Amalfi Coast, I think, and for good reason. The charms of the Amalfi Coast are like pegged onto the cliffs, you know, in this dramatic coastline as they plunge into the sea, the dramatic, beautiful little beaches and towns. But the transportation is tricky. There's one road that winds along the coast, and it can be a real problem when you've got lots of traffic, including big vehicles like tour buses going in both directions. How does the region deal with traffic congestion? It's a simple thing. You got to a one-and-a-half-lane highway, and it accommodates so many people.
Well, they realize the problems that they are having with the crowds, and so they're trying to do the best they can. But the road is what it is. They can't make it any wider, straighter, anything like that. And, of course, everybody wants to come and see it when they come down to us.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just tour buses can only go in one direction. Is that the deal?
They have to be shorter than 10 meters, and they can only go down the Amalfi Coast from Positano towards Salerno, and they have to come back a different way.
They go inland on the
yes.
Autostrada.
So besides making it one-way traffic for the tourist buses, they're also trying to add more public buses going down the Amalfi Coast. They have a public boat that goes down the coast. And now it's quite the thing to rent your own boat with a captain. And you can get ones for 7 people, 10 people, 15 people to take you down and stop wherever you want.
Tour guide Anne Long is on the line from her home overlooking Sorrento as we get on-the-scene tips for enjoying Italy's scenic Amalfi Coast on Travel with Rick Steves. Just before recording our conversation with Anne, I put out an invitation for questions or comments about the Amalfi region on my Facebook page. And Jamie in Lisbon sent us this recommendation. On the Amalfi Coast, skip the jammed buses with no view and take the ferries instead for stunning views. You can take the ferries from point to point along the coast, and you can head out to Capri from different points along the Amalfi Coast. So the main thing is you do have a boat option to the congested single highway that serves all of these destinations.
Yes, and it's a wonderful view from the water as well. Everybody, you know, wants to see it from the road, but from the sea it's a beautiful view. And the boats are limited to how many people they can put on them. It's not like the buses where they're just putting them on as tight as they possibly can.
Oh, man, yeah.
There's less boats. You have to kind of be flexible with your timing. But and they make lots of different stops along the coast.
Over the years, I've noticed the region has done all sorts of creative little experiments to manage with their restricted infrastructure, that one road. And I remember there was a time when people with odd license plate numbers or even numbers for the last digit would be able to get their car on the road during those days to try to cut down the traffic.
They were doing that last year on the weekends and for the whole month of August, because they expected so many Italians with the cars out.
Yeah, and, you know, the flip side of the traffic congestion is the difficulty in finding a place to park your car. For me, that's the worst thing, and that's why I do not drive on the Amalfi Coast. I hire a driver if I'm feeling like I really want to solve it, and then the driver just manages with the car while I do my work and my sightseeing. But, of course, public transit or a boat is probably the best way to go. Hey, we jumped right into that without even sort of setting it up. Give us just a thumbnail overview. What are the major stops along the Amalfi Coast that we should be mindful of?
Well, what the Amalfi Coast is so well known for is Positano as the kickoff town. And then from there you go through Praiano and then to Amalfi.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to Amalfi, that's a stop for everyone. Not everyone goes to Positano, but everyone stops and has a visit to Amalfi. Beautiful cathedral there, paper museum, nice walks, beautiful views. And then up to Ravello in the hills above Amalfi. And then you can continue on until towards Salerno to the smaller towns and less visited places.
So the big three on the Amalfi Coast are Positano. That's the movie star's place where you can do your shopping and people watching. Quite expensive, small, quite crowded, very steep. Everything is a climb. From the road and the bus stop all the way down to the beach, you've got Amalfi, which in its day was an important maritime capital, a little mighty mite in the feudal times, the Republic of Amalfi, and it has the history and the cathedral that you'd expect. But then you can go winding up into the hills and find the third destination of the Amalfi Coast, and that is Ravello. Ravello is quite different from the places we find on the coast, and it's also quite appreciated by travelers. And tell us about Ravello.
Yeah, Ravello was built above Amalfi by people who were rebelling. They think that's where the name came from. It was fighting against the control. And so it's harder to get to. The road is even more narrow to get there, but what fantastic views that you can have from up there. And families had their estates up there, beautiful villas that they used to spend their summers at.
You know, I'm sort of enchanted by the infinity pool, where you can be soaking in a pool and then it leads into everything, the whole world.
Exactly.
And in Ravello, I remember what I would call infinity restaurants.
Yes.
You're sitting there on a bluff and you've got the world in front of you, the Mediterranean, the lush countryside and no traffic. You're way up in this gorgeous little tucked away paradise.
That was the view that Gore Vidal had from his villa when he was up there and found inspiration for his 800 books that he wrote.
Now, one thing I've always wanted to do is hike from Ravello down to the coast. I know that's a popular hike. Do you know about that hike?
Yes, I've been really promoting that with my people lately, just to avoid the public transportation. If you can get up with the public transportation, there's a series of steps that bring you back down to the beach further along the coast in Minori. And it's a lovely walk down. I mean, it can be over 1,000 steps, but there's no rush.
Ann Long's our guide to getting around Italy's scenic Amalfi Coast region right now on Travel with Rick Steves. We provide a link to her Facebook page in the notes for this week's show, as well as links to some of her earlier visits with us in the show archives. You'll find that at ricksteves.com/radio. Maribel Starr commented on Facebook about the town you just mentioned. She writes, Minori on the Amalfi Coast is a gem. They have a special local gnocchi dish that's to die for. Also great pottery, lively outdoor concerts in the summer. We walked there while staying at Hotel Marmorata.
Marmorata.
Another divine place. Do you know Marmorata, the hotel there?
Yes, it used to be a paper mill. It was one of the paper mills of Amalfi that they've converted into. It's either 4 or 5-star hotel.
Oh, nice.
And it's right between Amalfi and the town of Minori. But Minori and Maiori are absolutely fantastic places. It's more Italian, less touristy, more Italian.
I feel that very much. The international tourist crowd, they go to Positano and they go to Amalfi and they probably go up to Ravello. But the locals enjoy Minori. It's a little less shishi, I would say, and a very, very delightful place to check out. So that's Minori. Heidi Hathaway also commented on Facebook, and she said the ferry from Naples to Positano, the ferry to Sorrento, the bus to Pompeii, and the train back to Naples makes a doable day trip. So let me think about that. You'd be in the big city Naples, you'd take the ferry to Positano, you'd see that, and then you'd take the ferry to Sorrento, you'd see that, and then you'd catch a bus to Pompeii, and from Pompeii you'd take a train back to Naples. Can you envision doing that in a day?
You wouldn't be able to spend too much time there. If you get definitely get from Naples to Positano, Positano to Sorrento, because the connections aren't that often,
right?
Especially between Positano and Sorrento, I don't think you could do all of them.
You know what I would do? I think I would take the early ferry, the first ferry from Naples to Positano. I would enjoy Positano in the morning, and then I would take a bus to Sorrento. I would just wander around Sorrento for an hour or two. Then I'd take the train to Pompeii and make sure I know when Pompeii closes, but I would do Pompeii at the end of the day, and then you're 45 minutes by train back to Naples. Would you take the bus from Positano to Sorrento to be a little more practical rather than the ferry?
I would take it if I was going in that direction before, say, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because the buses are very crowded going Sorrento to Amalfi in the morning, but then by 2, 2:30 in the afternoon, they start becoming crowded going back.
It's a big issue because I've stood at those bus lines, you know, waiting in the heat, and here comes the bus, yay, and then the bus driver hardly stops because it's already full.
And nobody gets off, right?
Nobody gets off at that time of day. So get some local advice on that. And also remember, in a place like Positano, there's 2 bus stops, one at one end of the town and one at the other end of town. And if you're at the right stop, you're twice as likely to get on the bus.
Right. Well, it's becoming like that now in Sorrento, the bus going to Amalfi. Is that supposedly it makes several stops in Sorrento, but it fills up at the train station. If you don't get on at the train station in Sorrento for the bus, you'll never get on.
Wow. Here's something that was sent to us by Penny Geisbrecht. And Penny emails us, and she writes, we're taking our granddaughter to the Amalfi Coast for her Grammy and Grampy European trip. She's the second of our 5 to be gifted with such a life experience. I love it when grandparents take their grandkids on a life experience like that, by the way. Penny continues, we're wondering how best to see Capri. My current plan is to drive to Sorrento Park, take the early ferry across, and I'm quite confused about renting a group boat or taking a public ferry. We're on a bit of a budget, and there'll be 4 of us. Any help would be appreciated. So, and she's getting a little bit confused about the different boat options to get from Sorrento to Capri and then to sightsee on Capri. What would you, can you just give us the basics about getting to Capri from Sorrento and then hiring a tour boat or something to go around Capri? And by the way, Capri is the destination island that everybody wants to go to off of the coast there, and it really is worth the trouble.
Yes, from Sorrento, we have connections every 20 minutes from 8 o'clock in the morning up until 10:30. So there's no problem at all. All the boats, they carry about 300, 400 people, so there's really quite a few. Mm-hmm. Then once you get to the island, you get off at what they call the Marina Grande, the main port of Capri. And you just walk to the end of the pier and turn left and walk along that pier, and you will come to boat companies that do Giro dell'Isola, which is the tour of the island. And it's a 1-hour tour. If you just want to do the tour, they also have ones that include a stop at the Blue Grotto. But if you just would like to go for a boat ride, you pay your ticket, 1 hour, go around, they bring you back, off you get.
I absolutely love that trip, by the way. It's very competitive. It's a good price. It's a great family thing to do. And it's super scenic. I believe it comes with a narration, doesn't it?
Usually they have someone on board that's pointing out the different grottos that they see, the different rock formations. So yes, definitely they'll have some explanation.
Lots of legends, lots of history. The Roman emperor, actually, which, Tiberius?
Tiberius, Augustus Tiberius was there to begin with, but then we had Tiberius throwing his lovers off the cliff.
So he had his little vacation getaway where he could take his lovers and toss them into the sea, I guess. But he had a great palace up there on the island of Capri. And you could imagine 2,000 years, people who had the wherewithal to get there would go to Capri. And I believe back when it was dangerous to be gay, that was a gay haven.
It was. The locals, they even talk about it now. People that are 90 and 100 years old remember being over there with the young ones.
So there's so much and so many dimensions to see, but you've got those crowds, you've got that heat, you've got the congestion on the traffic, and you've got pretty expensive accommodations. So there's some challenges, but I'll tell you, the rewards are great. Some of the best meals I've had in Italy are on the Amalfi Coast and in Sorrento. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're on the Amalfi Coast right now with Anne Long. And Anne's an American who's lived just outside of Sorrento on the Amalfi for more than 40 years. She leads tours all over Italy, and she's giving us a little insight into how we can enjoy this very popular slice of Italy. And let's wrap up our conversation just talking about cuisine in the region. When you have guests coming, what is the kind of food experience that you'd like them to take home as a memory?
Well, we're very well known for pasta. The South eats pasta. In the north, near Milan, they eat rice. Around Venice, they eat polenta. And so we have a tradition of a tomato-based sauce with a pasta. So we always start with that. We're very well known for our mozzarella cheese, whether it be with buffalo milk or cow's milk, and fish. We're quite well known for the fish in our area.
Well, you have the Insalata Caprese, right? That's literally the Capri salad named after the island. And I love that salad all over the world. You can eat it right there in its birthplace. And I think that's really good because the tomatoes are famously tasty and the cheese, the mozzarella, is famously tasty right there.
Everything at full flavor, basil, tomatoes, cheese, it's just all flavorful.
Anne Long, it's always a delight to check in with you. Thank you for getting us up to speed on our options if we want to venture south of Rome and enjoy the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rick.
Mille grazie, and I hope to see you soon.
Me too.
Guardi il mare com'è bello. Spiran tanto sentimento come il tuo soave accento che me desto fa sonare.
As always, you'll find links to our guests and what we talk about on the radio page of our website. It's updated for each week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Lace up your hiking boots as we get ready to explore the extensive system of trails along the southwest coast of England. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.